The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back. It is the NFC East Mixtape presented to you in partnership by Blogging the Boys, SB Nation's home for Dallas Cowboys content, and Bleeding Green Nation, SB Nation's home for Philadelphia Eagles content. He is Brandon Lee Gowden of BGN. I am RJ Ochoa of BTB. You can listen to this on both of our podcast networks, whether you are a Philadelphia Eagles fan, that sucks, or a Dallas Cowboys fan, that is awesome. We have the good times here on the Mixtape. BLG, happy week 14 to you, my friend.
I feel like the NFC East Mixtape, RJ, is probably the most anticipated podcast in the entire world.
I agree with you. And you said this at the tail end of last week's episode. Huge thanks, huge levels of love and admiration for everybody who is participating in the NFC East Mixtape with us. And to those of you who have chosen to share your levels of admiration for the show, that really means a lot to us. If you haven't yet, please do subscribe to your preferred podcast provider. Whether you're a Cowboys fan, an Eagles fan, go to BTB or BGN. But whether you are a Cowboys fan or an Eagles fan, leave a rating and write a review for both. The cross review, as BLG has coined it. Go to the other team's podcast network. Leave a 5-star rating and write whatever you want. You can say whatever you want as long as you leave a 5-star rating. BLG, we have 3 ratings on the BTB site if you are ready.
Let's do it.
The first one comes to us from Jared. I don't know if it's a lowercase L or uppercase I. Which one do you think it is?
It's just that, just like
it's Jared with a capital J. So Jared dot, and then this letter.
I'm going to say I.
Me too. I think it's like the last name. But Jared dot I, we're guessing. Caption is Go Eagles, 5 stars. Lifelong Eagles fan, lifelong Cowboys hater. We're off to a great start. Nothing grinds my gears more than trash talking Cowboys fans that have never been to Texas. I had the unique experience of being in Dallas for work during the Eagles Super Bowl parade. Love the Mixtape podcast, guys. Friday After Next is the best Christmas movie ever.
I really don't get why we see a ton of Cowboys fans outside of Texas, but it does happen.
Are you saying that there is no Eagles fan outside
I
of...
am.
Interesting. That's a lot of people that, you know, seemingly live in the metropolis of Philadelphia. But okay, next one comes to us from Rich Bobby, longtime listener. Rich Bobby also listens to the SB Nation NFL show where you can hear both BLG and I. Go subscribe to that feed, leave a rating, write a review. 5-star rating, title, just saying. Here we go. RJ and his wife welcomed a beautiful child into the world on 11/24. On 11/19/17, the Philadelphia Eagles woodshedded the Cowboys 37-9 in the house that Jerry built. 11/19 is 5 days before 11/24. Number 5 belongs to Donovan McNabb. 5 will always love you. Also, the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl that 2017 season. Peace and love, BT Beers. That was an interesting one.
Rich Bobby is like one of the most dedicated BGN and SB Nation NFL show, I would say, listeners. Great. Him and Mario Kapp, some of the top, like, elite level. This listeners, this is who you should like aspire to be. Like, these are like the BLG, elite level listeners.
Not to interrupt you, but funny you should mention Mario Kapp. Next one comes to us from Mario Kapp, who's embraced how great he is at reviewing, because the title of this one is literally just Mario Kapp. 5-star rating. Here we go. RJ, the Dallas kicking game cost you another win along with the DPI penalties. Talking about the Thanksgiving loss against the Raiders. Dak did great considering his top 2 receivers were not in the game. I agree with BLG that offensive tackle would have served you better than linebacker in the first round. Congratulations, RJ, on the birth of your son. May the Lord bless you, your wife, and your little boy. I knew we would lose to the Giants. I have suffered for 50 years with this team, and my heart has been broken repeatedly. We have Rager instead of Jefferson, JJ, Arcega-Whiteside instead of DK Metcalf, and Howie traded away our draft pick in 2018 to the Ravens, with which they chose Lamar Jackson. I would love to see the Cowboys go to Lambeau Field and beat the Packers in the divisional round. Let's go, Mario Cat.
I feel like the NFC's mixtape, RJ, has to have kind of like maybe changed your opinion on Eagles fans. Like pretty, you know, supportive, pretty good people, I feel like.
I think that it has more than anything changed Eagles fans' opinions of Cowboys people, because they realize that we are awesome and perfect and not full of flaws like their leader has led them to believe for all of these years over at BGN. So, you know, maybe you should feel a little bit outed here for all the lies you've told.
Doubt it.
Anyway, it is time to get into this week's NFC East mixtape. And boy, oh boy, do we have quite the festivities going on. BLG, there are 11 games remaining this season for the NFC East. Only three of them feature an NFC East team playing a non-NFC East team. That means we have eight games between now and the regular season that is pure, unadulterated, high-octane NFC East fashion. So we start with the division leaders, thanks to their Thursday night football win over the New Orleans Saints. The Dallas Cowboys picked off Taysom Hill four times. It was a gross game, from being honest with you. I said this on our post-game show. Cowboys looked much better in their loss to Tampa, as an example, than they did in their win against New Orleans. You would never take the loss over the win. There's still some concerns for the Cowboys. A lot of people, BLG, a lot of Cowboys fans, and I want to say this now, that were in my mentions. Oh, well, what do you expect? They had to play three games in 12 days, blah, blah, blah. BLG, every team has to play three games in 12 days when they go from Sunday to Sunday to Thursday night football. Every team has to do this. The only exception this year is actually the aforementioned Ravens, who had their bye week 2 weeks before their Thursday night football game, which they lost to the Miami Dolphins. But so whatever. The rest thing, fine. McCarthy being out, fine. You know, I can understand those things to a certain degree. I would understand them more if this was like the first, you know, kind of bump in the road for this team. But the fact that they have been so lethargic offensively for over a month now is really concerning. This is some of the worst football that Dak Prescott has played, which does speak to how good he's been for the majority of his career. So I think there are concerns. And I think, you know, you feel better when you see the rest of the NFL games and there are still, you know, every team is struggling with whoever they're playing. You know, this is the true league of parity. But I mean, it's hard to feel convinced that the Cowboys are going to do anything beyond winning the NFC East. And even that feels really scary this particular week.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's this kind of this week specifically goes kind of back to what I was saying about on Thanksgiving. Like, hey, if the Raiders win that game and then the Eagles take advantage and actually beat the Giants, which they clearly didn't. But if they did, it would have been it would have been like a race down the stretch here. And it would have been something to watch. The Eagles obviously blew that on the rest thing. I mean, the Cowboys, all of their opponents, like, it was equal rest, right? Like, no one had more rest than them going into any of those matchups.
No.
And I don't want to hear that. It's equal footing.
I agree, but it's just like people explain, some Cowboys fans try to explain how the team is playing poorly. I will say it is a unique thing. And I know you love to harp about how the Cowboys get the Thanksgiving Day game every year. What I will say, and granted, it is equal for, in this case, for the New Orleans Saints, who played the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. The Cowboys and their Thursday Night Football opponent are the only teams who don't get the mini bye immediately following their short week. That is a, you know, it is a true variable. Now, however large of a variable you think it is up to you. I don't think it's that big of one that, you know, but and they're not even reacting to that. You know, as an example, Zeke is so clearly, you know, bothered by something and injured. And so like, why, like, that was the perfect game to rest him, because you could have beat the Saints without him clearly, and you would have given him all that time and then the mini bye to get ready for the serious games, which are, you know, starting this Sunday at Washington.
Circling back to Dak Prescott, who a certain someone may have said earlier in the season, like, I think Dak and the shoulder injury and everything is going to be fine early in the season, or it might be, but it's something that we might need to monitor as the season goes on. And sure enough, Dak Prescott, not exactly playing his best football recently. He's at 87.4 pass rating through his last five games. That includes, you know, that just huge blowout victory over the Falcons who stink. And I have no idea how that team has 5 wins this year. They have like the 4th worst point differential in the NFL. It's a joke. Anyway, so I just think that they really need to get him back on track as serious contenders. Like, beating the Saints is great. Like, you get a win, you're probably going to win the NFC East, but like, it doesn't matter in the big picture. Like, you're kind of saying if the quarterback isn't playing well, then that kind of caps the ceiling on the team as a whole and your confidence in them in that regard. I think Dak needs to have a really big game against Washington this week. I mean, getting the win obviously is most important, but like, if it's kind of just another like game from him, that's pretty concerning. I think he needs to have like a statement game against Washington this week.
He is 7-1 against Washington in his career. Although, I don't know if you know this, BLG, Dak Prescott has never played the Washington football team. He missed both games last year, their first season, obviously, under that banner. And so, he's also never beaten them, if you want to be specific about that. But I think the person that is receiving the most criticism for capping the offense has been Kellen Moore. And man, BLG, the takes the early part of the season. Well, if I was Jerry Jones at the end of the year, I would fire Mike McCarthy. What's McCarthy doing anyway? Kellen Moore is running the show. Kellen Moore is the one in charge of the offense. Kellen Moore is the genius. Kellen Moore is perfect. Last week was a huge opportunity for Kellen Moore, especially with all these like openings in the world of college football. Granted, they're filling up, obviously. But I mean, it was an island game, Thursday night football, and it's unfortunate that Mike McCarthy had to miss the game, and hopefully all is well with him and his family. He is on track to return to the Cowboys later this week. But if Kellen Moore's offense had been awesome or just even kind of good, it would have been this huge statement of like, look at him. He truly is doing it on his own. Kellen has lost a lot of shine over the last month, and I don't feel any confidence that he's going to leave the Cowboys to be a head coach anywhere next season. I think we, you know, people forget. I don't forget, you know, because I'm me. But people forget this is his 4th season as a coach, like period, ever at the professional level. And so sometimes it just takes time to mature. I do think, and shout out to Dan Quinn. I know you said last week was a lose-lose proposition for Mike McCarthy. I do think we saw the value that he brings and provides. He does stabilize this team in some way. But my primary point is that Kellen Moore, a little bit in over his head.
He's also only 33 years old, which is, you know, kind of pretty crazy. Not that there aren't young coaches in the NFL, but, you know.
He's this automatic head coach, blah, blah. It was always silly, that conversation.
So was Joe Brady before he got fired, which, you know, man, is stupid. And we talked about that on the SB Nation NFL show at length, me and my co-host, Rob Stats Guerrera. But anyway, I mean, they did win without Mike McCarthy. So, you know, it's tough to say, you know, or you kind of have to wonder, are they better without him?
Their offense was so bad.
He doesn't call the plays. What does that have to do with anything?
Awful. I mean, I don't have an explanation for you. But what I can note is that Kellen Moore's offense has been terrible. And he's doing dumb things. Like, he's doing things that we haven't seen so far this season. And last week, you know, people making such a big deal, BLG, about this week. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence returned last week, but now it's Randy Gregory's going to be back. Neville Gallimore's going to be back. This is literally the healthiest the Cowboys defense is going to be all season long, which is exciting. But that was the case last week for the offense. I mean, you had everybody wanted to see Tyron Smith and Lyle Collins at the 2 tackle positions. We got that. We got Amari Cooper back with Michael Gallup and CeeDee Lamb. There was the one drive where they each had the like monster plays that set up, you know, for the lone touchdown before Tony Pollard obviously took care of things. But that was it. Like, so I don't know if you know this or not, that was literally the first game ever that Dak Prescott, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, the 3 receivers all played together. And you only are able to put up, you know, 1 point through or 1 touchdown through the air. I mean, that is, I don't want to say deeply concerning, but that's where people are at with Kellen Moore. Like, he has lost all trust. Now he's just like, you know, another offensive coordinator right now.
Cowboys scored 27 points in a game where Taysom Hill had what, 4 interceptions? Like, you know, you're kind of looking for more than you're kind of looking to at least break 30 if the other quarterback is turning the ball over. Did he have any fumbles in that game?
He did not, but I was so in love with your stat about the Giants getting no points off of the Eagles turnovers last week that on Friday morning I looked at this. So one of the Taysom turnovers was the pick 6 at the very end of the game. So we're willing to admit that that's a touchdown. So looking at the other 3, do you know how many points the Cowboys pulled off of those 3 interceptions?
I'm going to say 3.
It was 3. That's not enough. It can't be enough. Not if you're supposed to be the number one offense in the NFL.
Right.
Can't be
exactly. Enough. Yeah. That's the standard. It's not like, you know, like we're a team that wins through our defense and that's our, you know, our recipe and the offense does enough. No, it's like the offense is the bread and butter. It needs to be a lot better than it's been. And I see this on Blogging the Boys. I saw an article this morning. I was going through putting my posts together for the link. And I did see like, this is like the vibe over there seems to be, this is a really big game against Washington this week. It's like, even like we can acknowledge as Cowboys fans, like is what they're saying that like if we lose this game, still have a good chance of winning the NFC East. But like, you know, and even if you pull off the division still and you do lose this game, like it's just, that's not it. Like that's not what we're looking for right now. Like you're shooting bigger. That's the thing. Like you should be shooting for the division is kind of wrapped up. If you look at like Football Outsiders, their playoff odds, I think the Cowboys are like 96% chance to win the East. Like the division is pretty much done. Although maybe not if Washington wins this week, more of a conversation. But yeah, I think it's all about kind of looking like a contender for the Super Bowl and not just like the best team in the NFCs at this point.
This game is what people wanted the Chiefs game to be for the Cowboys. Everybody's like, this is the big game. This is the big show. Like that, again, like you don't want to lose, but like in realistic terms, that was not a meaningless game, but it was the least meaningful game that you can play because it's against the opposite conference. This is the exact opposite of that. This is a road divisional game against a team that's on your heels, if you want to stretch that term just a little bit, but that can be on your heels if they win this game because you play them twice in the next 3 weeks. So this is the biggest game of the Mike McCarthy era. And it's funny given that in the two games that he's played Washington previously, a point I've raised to you, he has not had his ideal offense. He's never had Dak Prescott against Washington. He's never had Tyron Smith or Lyle Collins. Obviously, he's never had Micah Parsons. So, you know, and to be fair, you know, Washington's down. Washington's on their second quarterback this year. So you've got your full complement of people. This is literally going to be BLG, the healthiest the Cowboys are, period, in a game this year. They don't have any star players on the COVID list or on injured reserve. They're going to be basically at full health. And so if they don't win, it will be deeply concerning. But let's get to Washington, who are in second place in the NFC East because the Philadelphia Eagles are not. Remember, BLG, everybody said, the NFC least, you know, this division will be won with 7 wins. It annoys me to no end that people, when they make their season predictions, just lean on the results from the previous year. That's it. I think Washington will win it with 7-10. It's going to be the first, you know, division, blah, blah. Anyway, Washington gets a lukewarm, impressive win over Vegas, 17-15. Taylor Heinicke just gets it done. I mean, that's, you know, what a great, weird find. I don't know if I would call it great, but he has been a really, really, really bright light for them in the midst of these last two seasons.
Relative to expectation, yeah, I mean, right. It's a good, you're getting more value out of the signing than you reasonably could have expected. A former XFL backup, who obviously, you know, he was in Carolina there for a bit with Ron Rivera, and that was the connection and everything. But yeah, I mean, the way I would phrase it about Washington is that, I mean, you have to give him some credit for being on the longest win streak in the NFC, which is like a funny thing to say.
And it's not just a fluky one either. Like, yeah, they beat the Panthers, whatever. Like, it's not like a robust one, but they beat the Bucks. You know, like that's a really impressive kickstart to that whole thing without Chase Young. I mean, like the fact that they're doing it without him is really impressive.
And then they were at a big rest disadvantage against the Raiders. Like, they were coming off a short week. Raiders are coming off, you know, the Thanksgiving game. Like, and then the game was in Vegas, and the Raiders have been inconsistent. So I'm not going to say, like, it's the most impressive win ever, but it's a quality victory. Again, I would say they're not firing on all cylinders, the football team. Taylor Heinicke got away with some, like, turnover-worthy throws in that game, including, like, a pick, I think, towards the end that just went through kind of like the Raiders' hands. So, you know, I'm still not buying him at all as this, like, you know, lethal, you know, long-term answer for them. But he gives them a chance to win each week. And they're
Did you take him over Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, no. Obviously not. But like, you know, that's not a very high bar for me. You know, they're a solid team. They're a team that's not going to lay down at this point and die. Like you have to bring it against them. Like, if you don't bring, like, I don't say necessarily you need your A game always to beat them, but if you bring, like, you know, C game, probably not going to be good enough. Like, they're a solid football team. That's what I expected them to be heading into the season. The defense has stepped up, not in the way that they're like the 85 Bears or whatever all of a sudden, but they're at least solid. They're at least a lot more respectable than they were earlier in the year. And we'll see if they can capitalize on this, because this would be a really big win for them. And I, by the way, I think that's your headline for Blogging the Boys, not to tell you how to do your job, but this is the biggest game of the Mike McCarthy era, if it hasn't already been used.
That specific headline hasn't already been used, but it definitely will be, you know, and I already had that thought. Don't worry, you know.
Yeah.
But that's great teamwork happening here. The symmetry across SBN.
Synergy.
But, symmetry works too. I mean, but
synergy better works better. Because, I'm not going to post that though. What is the reflection?
Anyway, but I'm going to say this sentence, and I actually want you to enjoy it. It's the Christmas season of giving, you know. So I want you to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Rivera is really good at his job. I do think that he's overrated by some. So it's really the fault of the people, not Ron Rivera. But this is impressive. Like, he is steadying the waters. Like they're not a disaster. Like, and yeah, it should not be as easy to be a disaster as, sorry, the Eagles and the Giants make it seem. And so, like, the fact that they are just not imploding is impressive. Now, they have a clear ceiling on their potential because of the talent on their team. And, you know, that is the mistakes of Ron Rivera partly and other people. But, I mean, they deserve a lot of credit. And, I mean, they're in the playoffs right now. They're a wild card team. And they're not the, like, oh, the third wild card just because the NFL added it. No, they are the real McCoy, like an OG, the second wild card. And so I think they're going to the playoffs. I really do. I actually think, I know, you know, sorry, BGN, I think they sweep the Eagles. I really do at this point. I mean, so I think they'll beat the Giants. I'd say they split with the Cowboys, you know, and that's an optimistic scenario for them, right? Or a conservative one. Mm. I mean, so yeah. I think that they are at the very least the third wild card team.
I think they get at least one win against the Cowboys, and I think they could sweep the Cowboys too. I'm not going to say it's the most likely outcome, but I think it's like within the realm of possibility. It's more than like a 5% chance to me, which isn't necessarily saying a lot, but I think it's possible. This is kind of my whole argument about Ron Rivera. It was never that like he was like the best head coach in the NFL or even like one of the very best. I just thought he provides a floor. Was always trying to, at least the way I should have put it more succinctly if I didn't before.
Your mistake.
Like he gives you some level of credibility. That's why I thought it was like a good, not like a great hire, but like a sensible hire for Washington, because they kind of could
what
could
they needed that at the time.
Yeah, they needed some, like, they needed stability. They needed a floor. They needed something that would prevent them from totally just always like hitting rock bottom again and again. And I think he did that. And I think his value as something I always talk about as a head coach is like, how do you respond when things go really wrong? And things were really wrong for Washington earlier this season, and they easily could have cratered. Instead, they pull off this 4-game win streak. And I think that's something that's always going to be like a possibility when you have a veteran, solid head coach like Ron Rivera. It's not necessarily, you know, one that has a super high ceiling, you're going to win a championship, but you're going to be able to prevent yourself from looking like a total joke, from being like the Jaguars or the Jets or something like that.
I do think it's funny how, I mean, I don't know if you've heard, football is a game of inches. I mean, if not for the, you know, the Russell Wilson awful 2-point conversion on Monday night last week, like, this is not, maybe not a 4-game win streak, right? If not for, you know, a field goal from a brand new field goal kicker, like, these things happen and they work and they're, you know, real. And so, like, I'm not trying to make them not real, but, you know, like, you don't have to move the goalposts an enormous amount to kind of shift their reality, which is just funny the way football tends to work sometimes.
Well, that's a fair point though, in terms of like this Washington team, again, they're not firing on all cylinders. They're winning one score games. That's not sustainable over the long term, but it's where we are right now. And if they go out and they get a big win over the Cowboys, then that kind of, you know, legitimizes one of those.
There you go. Synergy. Their most sound win in this win streak, amazingly, is against the Bucks. Like, that's their best of the four, which is just really strange given the opponents they've played.
And they beat, like, that was like a really impressive win. Like, that wasn't like a fluky game to me. Like, that drive they had again, at the end of the game, it might be the best drive of the season. Like, that was like a really freaking, like, you know, like, they just beat them. And then it was good coaching too, because they went for two at the end of the game. Like, it, like, didn't even give the Bucks a chance to make it a game, or give Brady a chance to, or they went for the touchdown, whatever it was. It was just like it was extremely deserved effort, is my point.
My last point on all this is, and I'm just, look, I have to say this, but you love to talk about big loser energy. This isn't big loser energy. I think this is MLE. This is moderate loser energy. all the NFC East fans, every Washington or Eagles fan or Giants fan, why do the Cowboys think they're so special? Blah, blah, blah. It's because Ron Rivera, immediately after getting this big win, is like, man, guys, we need you. Please come out. Please come watch us. Come watch us play the Cowboys. Please, we need your help. Chill out, dude. Have some self-respect. You've won four games in a row. I mean, that was a little, again, moderate loser energy from Ron Rivera in my mind.
I understand why you're saying that, but I think the sad part is, though, that like he has to say that, like, and that's not his fault. Like, they're that the fact that they don't have the fan support and Dan Snyder is a joke and it's a really bad stadium and really bad fan experience. Like, I get why that's being said, though, because like they're not getting their home fans there, and it's a mess, and it's not Ron Rivera's fault at all. Like that, I don't love that he has to say that, but he's almost in a position where he has to. Is my point.
My point is that every team looks up and is haunted by the Cowboys. That's my point. And just, okay. You know, has all their energy put into playing the Dallas Cowboys. Okay. We need some energy, so we're going to take a break. BLG is going to grab a power bar, I think, and then we'll be back. So nobody go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome back. BLG, you did not get a power bar. In fact, you brought a three-course meal. What is on your three plates?
I don't know. A three-course meal. I don't know how I feel about that. I feel like I never use that term, actually. It's like something that gets said, but like I never
feel like five-course gets meal. Said more off. Like that's the most common derivation of course.
What am I going to have for dinner tonight is a good question. I don't know yet. Still up in the air. I have all these leftover cookies, RJ, because I think you said it on the show. He said it in the pre-show conversation. I went to a cookie swap, and like I just have a billion. I can send you the picture of these in the Slack, maybe as we're on the show or whatever. It's just like so many cookies. So I might just eat cookies and then get sick.
Give me a ballpark. How many there are there? Like, we're talking like 14? Are we talking like way more
at
than
least,
that?
Like, yeah, like 15-ish, maybe even like 20. It was so many freaking cookies.
What's the best one? The best one you've had?
I would say mine. Unbiased opinion. Mine's up there. This person who hosted the party, shout out to Erica. She's actually a baker, and she made these caramel popcorn cookies, and they're actually really good.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
They're like next level. They're really good.
Erica with a C or a K?
C.
I think I like that better.
Okay.
Respect. Okay. Anything else? Are you a milk with your cookies person?
So I think the perfect cookie should be, I just sent you the pictures, by the way, on Slack as we're on air, or they're uploading now, but, I feel like the perfect cookie to me should be kind of like crunchier on the outside rim, but then not soft, but chewy in the middle. Like a cookie should have some kind of like pliability where you can like almost like bend it. I don't like a super hard and dry cookie that you can just like kind of snap in half. Typically, I also don't love necessarily, you know, like a soft, like a cookie just out of the oven and it's like soft and gooey still. I mean, that can be nice, like maybe one in a certain context, but as a general thing, I don't like, let's say, like a bag of like Chips Ahoy, like their soft kind. I'm not about that. I think a cookie should be chewy.
Okay, I'm looking at this photo now, and which ones are yours?
My cookie, RJ, is the double chocolate chip cookie, which is really good.
It's this. Is it the smallest one there?
I feel like I have to post this now on Twitter for reference, so people can. Because otherwise, it's terrible podcasting.
So, yours are in the tin, the box tin.
Yes, they're in the tin.
Dude, these are. They might be in the nicest display. No, the nicest display is the little tower. Ooh, those are the caramel popcorn ones. Wow, dude, they have popcorn on them. Oh my gosh,
it's really good. It's, well, again, she's a baker, so it's kind of like unfair because, like, you know, she like does this for a living. But yeah, they're really good.
The worst ones to me.
oh God, let's drag someone here.
Look like, is it Dunia and Eric?
I don't know who they are. But what are they?
It's right below the caramel popcorn ones in the Tupperware.
Like the hearts you're saying?
Yeah, those look bad. I'm not a
fan. They're fine. Like, they're not my they weren't like bad. None of them are bad, honestly. Like, they're all pretty good. And it's cookies. Like, how it's hard to get like sugar wrong, I feel like. Whatever. Sugar and butter.
They look like they suck. Anyway, let's talk about things that suck. The Philadelphia Eagles and Jalen Hurts specifically, because we have a full-blown quarterback controversy. Gardner Minshew shows up, gets the dub, does the awesome, you know, stuff, has the great video with his awesome dad, stuff. Just looks cool. There's somebody in the crowd wearing his jersey. This is the best quarterback that the Philadelphia Eagles have had since Donovan McNabb. Shout out to everyone that has tried since then, which includes what, Kevin Cobb, AJ Feely, I guess.
Michael Vick, Carson Wentz, Sam yeah. Radford.
Gardner Minshew, QB1, baby. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good game by Gardner Minshew, and I don't think you should like take anything away from that. Like, he played really well. Now, of course, it was against the team in the NFL with literally the worst passer rating allowed this season. The Jets are horrendous on defense. They didn't force a punt until the Eagles' final drive when there was a really bad snap by Nate Herbig, who was filling in for Jason Kelsey, who was hurt. So I don't want to take anything away from Gardner Minshew. I thought he did some really good things in terms of like being really accurate. Again, he didn't have many incompletions in this game. And as a whole, I think it really shouldn't be controversial to say he is a better passer than Jalen Hurts. Like, there are objective metrics to like support this statement. Doesn't mean he's a better overall player. Doesn't mean he has as high of a ceiling. There isn't a real controversy here, RJ. Jalen Hurts is going to continue to be the starter. But like I told Stats, I'll tell you. Well, it's true. I mean, like, I like Gardner Minshew. It's not even like I'm a Minshew hater or anything, but
you hate Eagles Hurts, you hate Minshew.
I just hate the Eagles as a whole. It's fair. I think the thing I will say that is meaningful about this performance to me is that this game is, one, a missed opportunity for Jalen Hurts. There's a lot of people out there who are just saying, like, well, if Jalen Hurts played, he would have had an awesome game. I mean, like, maybe, but he didn't. That's not the reality. You can't just, like, there isn't a world where you can just assume that he did.
Jalen was terrible against the Giants, who are similarly bad. So what logic is there to make this, to jump to this conclusion? There's not
that,
any.
Yes, you don't just give that to him. Like, oh, he would have had a good game against the Jets. So you just, you know, you give that. No, you don't just give that to him. It didn't happen. So I think it's a big missed opportunity for him in terms of, like, he could have used a stock up game, and this was not one for him. And then I absolutely do believe, while it's not going to change the starting quarterback for week 15, that if Jalen Hurts goes out against the Washington football team and looks really, really bad again, like he did against the Giants, I think the leash is shorter now with Minshew looking good. And there could be a switch if Jalen Hurts continues to struggle.
I have a lot of thoughts here. My first is that this must be an annoying time in Eagles Twitter for the non-Jalen stan, because Jalen's stans to me seem like the type of stans that just come hard. You know what I mean? Like, dealing with that has got to be an interesting conversation. And so, like, I'm sure you're right. Like, they're all these, like, he would have done the same thing against the Jets. So now, like, the next 2 weeks, because the Eagles are on bye, if anyone was unaware, are going to be a little bit longer in that sense. I think what also helps, you know, Minshew's case, if you want to make one, peek behind the curtain here. I asked BLG if I should start Boston Scott in my fantasy league of record. The reason for that, just for full clarity here, Christian McCaffrey out for the season. I also lost J.K. Dobbins at the beginning of the season. I have Kareem Hunt, who just
no one
came
cares
back,
about
but,
this,
but was on bye, and I had Michael Carter on the other side of this game, who's on IR at the moment. So I was up a creek, you know, and I did not have a lot of options. BLG said, do not play him. I did not listen. I lost. But what's more, as I told you, BLG, is I benched Dallas Goedert, which hurt a lot. And that wouldn't have made the difference. Actually, it might have, but I don't want to think about that. Anyway, but Dallas Goedert just gets this big-time contract. Gardner Minshew shows up, and I saw you tweet about this too right away. Hey, throw it to the good guy. Throw it to the good players. I mean, like, and Dallas Goedert has some success. I know there's all this talk about Devontae Smith not getting involved and whatnot, but this is a nice revelation, I think. And so if I'm an Eagles fan, A, I'm a terrible human being, but B, I'm thinking at least Minshew gives me an opportunity to see these other players grow and develop, whereas Jalen doesn't necessarily offer that.
It's a fair point. I think it's a more functional passing attack. Again, because I think Gardner Minshew, for his faults, and by the way, like, not perfect in terms of the, like, the, he was a touch behind on those touchdown throws to Goddard. They're a little bit underthrown. I mean, I'm not going to kill him for it. He still made the play, but, you know, that's still noticeable. I thought there was another play too where he actually threw to Devontae Smith. And I feel like, you know, if that was like Josh Allen or, you know, a quarterback with a stronger arm, just for example, that's a completion. But because of his weaker arm, the cornerback had a time to kind of make a break on the ball and knock it down. So you saw where his limitations are. And I think, you know, that's what Minshew is. He's a low end starter in the NFL, a high level backup, maybe one of the very best backups. Very best backup, maybe top one in the NFL, you could argue. So yeah, you know, I think there are limitations there, and I totally forgot what your point was. So what was it again?
Well, I just want to shift to your point now. I think Howie Roseman, there are rare opportunities to say this here, deserves a lot of props, because I was pissed when the Cowboys weren't the team that traded for Minshew. And not that this was like a, man, we're stuck, we need this win and have to rely on our backup quarterback situation for the Eagles, but it proved, and I know it was the Jets, but it proved that, like, that was, that trade had merit. You know, that was a nice move that he pulled off in a vacuum. He has a mountain of awful moves that, you know, are impossible to, like, you know, justify or validate or anything like that. But, you know, he deserves some credit. I do have a question for you, if you're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, so as it stands, the Eagles are the first team out of the three wild cards. Okay, they're the eighth seed in the NFC at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles have a higher chance of getting into the playoffs, obviously as a wild card team, if who is their quarterback? Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew?
I think it's similar. I don't think it's a big difference. I'm going to say
Fence Rider. We want.
No, I think they're similar tier players is the thing, but I will say, I think if we're talking about gives the team a better chance to win now, which what this season isn't really all about, I think it is Minshew potentially, just because, again, I think passing offense matters the most. And I think Gardner Minshew is the better passer. So I don't think that's crazy to say.
Also of note, when it comes to the Eagles, BLG, the Indianapolis Colts are at what, like at like 99.9% of the threshold necessary for the Carson,
I think it's
Wentz
like
pick,
like,
to be a first rounder.
Five more snaps is like all Wentz needs. Right. It's like, so, really, so close. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, a challenge for the content king, the Eagles and the two teams who they are depending on for first round picks next year are all on bye this week. So no real Eagles rooting interests except for wild card related things and whatnot. So in that sense, are you rooting for the Cowboys to beat Washington to keep one wild card spot more available?
I mean, I think the framing is always you're just hoping that Washington loses. But I mean, yeah, I like the Cowboys are winning the NFC East. Like, I don't think you can really. I mean, when you lost the Giants, like, you lost your chance at winning the NFC East. I think it kind of comes down to that. So I do think the focus should be ultimately on the wild card at this point from a realistic standpoint. And yeah, I think it helps the Eagles the most if the Washington football team loses.
Every Eagles fan rooting for the Cowboys. Second week in a row. You'd love to see it. Are on bye. This is a late bye. This is a
latest bye, I think, in the NFL ever. There's never been a team on a bye this late. They were talking about that last night on the broadcast because the Patriots are also on bye.
The Patriots are on bye. The Colts are on bye. The Dolphins are on bye.
And historically, by the way, I was perusing through Twitter at one point. And by the way, did you know? Remember, did I talk to you before about, maybe not, I think this was with Jimmy, I'm getting all my podcasts mixed up, about how, like, literally, the word literally can also be used to mean figuratively, which I hate that. I don't know how that is a thing, but if you look it up on, like, the dictionary, it actually says figuratively is an acceptable definition of literally, which I hate. But also, it's terrible. And peruse means both like to skim and also like to read thoroughly. So like, what are we doing with these words that mean two different things? Like, and also like bi-weekly, I hate that. Like bi-weekly means either once every 2 weeks or twice in 1 week. Why do we have these words? They don't mean anything. If it means more than one thing, it doesn't offer clarity. Anyway, where was I going with this point?
On that subject, if you'll allow me one gripe, because you had like seven. And we're getting to this time of year because we're about to have like college bowl season. I think that we largely misuse the term anniversary. So this happened a few years ago. The Alamo Bowl in San Antonio had like its 25th anniversary. And so I was curious. So I looked it up, and it was actually the 25th game that was being played, like the 25th Alamo Bowl, which is only the 24th anniversary, because you can't have an anniversary. Like, the second game would theoretically be the first anniversary.
You get what I'm saying? The day you get married isn't like your first anniversary.
Exactly. Yeah. That was exactly what I equated it to. You can't actually say that it's the 25th anniversary unless it's the 26th game. You get what I'm saying? It's stupid. I also think that people misuse this logic when it comes to their birthday. People will be like if somebody turns 30, you know, like they'll be like, well, you know, let's see what my 30th year has to offer. You have just completed your 30th year. You know, like, that's the whole point of like the birthday. Does that make sense? Last team to discuss on the NFC's mixtape. I don't even think that they really merit like a ton of discussion anymore.
So to put a bow on my point, just real quickly, the study I saw, I think, was that teams who have buys later in the season, typically like that does help them. Like the rest of the year into the playoffs, like teams with later buys, there's value in that. So it could be a good thing for these teams, which is good for the Eagles and also bad for the Eagles.
BLG, I want to tell you a stat that I read. Over at Big Blue View, shout out to Ed Valentine, who does a great job with his Things I Think column after every Giants game. 52-0 at the end of first halves this season. That's impossible. And yet it's true.
They're really bad. What can you say?
I mean, do we have anything to say? Do we have any interesting things to say about this team?
No, especially like if Mike Lennon's playing, you know, like what's to learn? Like what's, you know, there's nothing interesting.
He might not even be playing. It might be Jake Fromm.
Saying like if we're talking about this, you know, this past game, like there's just nothing right there. Right. There is something with Jake Fromm, just because like in theory, maybe he's something, probably not. But like, you know, there's like more than a 0% chance like there is with Mike Lennon. So like that's really it. I will say here that like I've talked to Ed before about their quarterback situation and like how he kind of just feels like it's a no-brainer. You have to bring back Daniel Jones because, you know, it's like, what else are you going to do? Draft someone? And I mean, like, well, you could get involved in the trade market because you have, you know, two high picks and everything. I just feel like that's too like defeatist of Ed to just be like, well, you have to stick with Daniel Jones. I mean, like, he hasn't been that great, and I don't think he's a lost cause, but like he's also been hurt too, in addition to not being great. So I don't know.
It's really hard to evaluate Daniel Jones. Like he's the person, like you've said this before. Like, I mean, if we're willing to give anybody a pass, it's Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so difficult to contextualize how bad he might actually be. He might just be like normal bad, you know, like it's a popular take, but like put him in Pittsburgh next year. Let's see that. I'd be interested in seeing what that
or Denver like. Even maybe.
Yeah. Or Denver. Wouldn't it be hilarious if Kirk Cousins is the Giants quarterback next year?
Oh my gosh.
Is that like that's possible though, right? Like that's in the realm of possibilities?
Not impossible. Would be really appropriate. Loser franchise, loser quarterback, really good marriage.
I saw on the Giants subreddit, BLG, they are already trying very hard to trade Saquon Barkley. And I want you to guess what they thought would be fair compensation to get in return for him.
A first round pick.
No, it wasn't that bad. Your second guess.
A second round pick?
It was a third round pick. Would you, if the Eagles gave up a third round pick for Saquon Barkley, would you not destroy them?
Oh, I'd crush. No one is giving up a third round pick. It's not even happening. No team out there would do that. None of them would do that. Maybe a team would do a four. No one's doing a three.
No one's doing a day two pick. Nobody's doing it. Just because, like, is he even good? Like, would you characterize Saquon as good right now?
No, definitely. Like, what is he good at? I mean, like, in theory, he can break a big play, but, like, he gets hurt all the time. He hasn't been... There's so many games I feel like he feels like a very much a boom or bust runner, and there's a lot of games where it's just bust. He's not a runner, let's say, like Jordan Howard, who, like, can kind of keep you... And obviously, there's better examples of this, but, like, a running back who can kind of keep you on schedule and kind of... Maybe he's not going to break that big play, but he's going to kind of give you, like, second and, you know, five consistently, and then, like, third and three. So then it's kind of easier for the quarterback to... or to move the chains, kind of like the Eagles offense has been working with Jordan Howard when he's been available and Jalen Hurts taking advantage of those short yardage opportunities. Like Saquon's not that guy. And really he's just benefiting. He's coasting on reputation as his number two overall pick.
But dude, he doesn't even have a reputation. Like, it's a collegiate reputation. You know, like,
yes, he's, correct.
Like he had a nice rookie year, but like he's Jadeveon Clowney's one hit. That's, you know what I mean? Like, that's who he is. Like, as far as like, he's,
that's
like
a good way to put it.
My last question on this. So where does Saquon rank among these other four running backs? So 1 through 5, Elijah Mitchell, we'll go Daryl Henderson. We'll throw in J.D. McKissic from Washington. That's 3. Okay. And Devonta Freeman.
I'm going to put him last because you can't stay healthy in large part. And I mean, he might be like a better pure runner than, let's say, like J.D. McKissic, but McKissic might, you know, might offer more value as he's demonstrated as like a pass catcher. So there you go.
Any last words, thoughts, musing comments from you, PLG?
We have to go to a meeting, a little peek behind the curtain here right after this. So I guess we have to wrap up a very important meeting, a meeting that, you know, helps make the SB Nation NFL show really special. So,
another peek behind the curtain. We had to finish this with our cameras off because of my internet issues. So, my last thing to you, BLG, guess how many fingers.
So not a peek at all because we can't see
anything. That's true. Guess how many fingers I'm holding up. I'll be totally truthful if you get it right. I'm using both hands.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's more than five, but
that's within the realm of possibility.
Right. So my range here is 0 through 10. I'm going to say, and you're not like doing anything tricky to me here, like holding your fingers upside down. Cause I that used to be a good like joke when I go to the doctor, he'd be like, how many fingers am I holding up? You know, he's testing my vision. And then he'd be holding his hand like downwards, like this finger's pointing downwards. So he'd be like, no, I'm holding up no fingers because I'm holding two downwards. So you're assuming you're not doing any of that nonsense. I'm going to go and I'm going to say 3. No, wait, 4. Because of Dak Prescott.
Wrong.
Four.
I went 7 like Monica Geller. Fantastic reference by me. Cool. BLG, the last 737 words belong to you.
I'm going to say everyone should listen to the NFC East Mixtape. Really good podcast. Check it out. Check out the SB Nation NFL show. The Tuesday show is especially good. Off day debrief. Monday show isn't bad. Monday Football Monday. And everyone, we will talk to you next week.